Thank you, Jesus.
It's always a happy day when you sing that song. Oh, I tell you, it just, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. So, thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. So, Sally.
Sally?
4 years old. And it's her night to say the grace. In that family, everybody has a night to say the grace. It's her turn to say the grace. And she finds out that they're having peas as part of their dinner. And Sally does not like peas. And so Sally approached her mother and said, somebody else has to say the grace because I don't like peas. And her mother informed her that she had to say the grace anyways. And so she tells her mother, fine, then I'll say the grace, but I'm not going to mean it for the peas. You ever notice how sometimes we're kind of like that with grace in life in general? You know, there's times when we have to say grace for things that we may not like. We know grace is for all people. But if you're honest, you know that sometimes there are times in that secret place in your heart where you want to go to God and say, does grace mean them really? And God, of course, always says the same thing. God says what God always says. Grace means everybody, and everybody means everybody. That's who grace is for. And so we find ourselves like Sally saying, okay. But under our breath, we're saying, but I don't really mean it. I don't really mean it. Of course, people are saying that about us too. Just remember that, okay? Every time we're doing that, they're doing it too. So it happens. You remember the parable about the sower? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all tell it, and they tell it in their own way, where the guy goes out and throws the seed, and they all tell it their own way, but the idea is you just throw the seed. Don't worry about the soil. Just throw the seed. Throw the seed, and we hear about that. You don't care about where it falls. You just make sure that you're throwing it out, and 'cause you just never know. And that's important. That's important because we don't know which seed will take. We don't know which one will grow. Churches are filled with people who are surprises to their families and the friends that they grew up with, who the last thing they ever expected was that you were going to be a Christian. You would have been the last person on the list they ever expected, that you would end up being baptized, that you would end up being a believer, that you would end up being involved, that you would be an instrument of God's grace. And here you are, spreading God's love, spreading God's joy. See, grace isn't about judging soil. Grace is about sharing joy, the joy of knowing God and God's love and God's grace with us and for us. Back in the 1940s, as World War II was coming to a close, Dr. Oswald Goelter had been a missionary for like 30 years. The last 3 years, he was in China. The last 3 years, he had been under house arrest. Those of you who know history know that the communists had taken over China, and they finally said to him, we're going to let you go. We're going to release you if you promise to go home. And he said, I will promise to go home. So they said, okay, you're allowed to go. So he wrote the mission board. The mission board wires him the money to get a ticket. Back then, you know, you had to take a boat, you know, so he could get on a boat and get back to the States. And so he gets on the boat in China. And they have to stop and change boats in India. And so he's at the coast at one of the cities in India. And at that time, remember this is in the 40s. At that time, and he got off the boat and he had heard about all these Jews living in the lofts of barns. Because back in that time, no country would allow a Jew to come into their country, including the U.S. and they had nowhere else to go. So they're staying in these barn lofts. And Oswald heard about it, and he had some time, and so he visited them. And he said, it was Christmas time, and he said, Merry Christmas. And they said, we're Jews. He goes, I know, but Merry Christmas. He says, we don't observe Christmas. I know you don't observe Christmas, but what would you like to have for Christmas? Well, we don't do Christmas. What would you like? Merry Christmas. And they finally said, some German pastries. So Oswald goes into this town, and he looks for a German baker. And he finds this German baker, and he cashes in his ticket and buys boxes and boxes of German pastries. And then he goes back to these barns, and he gives it to these Jews. Merry Christmas, he says. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And when he's back in the States at the seminary, and he's teaching, and he tells that story, one of the ministers was absolutely incensed. Why would you do that? They don't even believe in Jesus. And Dr. Golter said, but I do.
Amen.
I do. See, that's the extravagance of God's grace. It's not about whether somebody else believes in it or somebody else trusts in it or anything like that. It's because we believe in it. We trust in it. We understand that we're called to share it. We celebrate the harvest. God brings in the sheaves. God takes care of who's going to respond. Our job is to share it. That's what we do. And we share it joyfully, sharing God's love, sharing God's grace. We hear in this passage that Teddy read for us, we see that once again, that love and grace flowing from the heart of Jesus. Jesus is praying for those who are crucifying him. And he prays and says, Father, forgive them. He meets hostility with forgiveness and grace. And you may remember, those of you who've read the Bible know that in Acts chapter 7, verse 40, the very first Christian martyr, remember him, Stephen? Remember, and he's getting stoned, all right? Remember how that's happening? And what does he pray? Father, forgive them. Those words have inspired Christians for thousands of years. We meet hostility with forgiveness and grace. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus does. We meet hostility with love and grace. The last words in our passage. The last words. Remember that? The criminal just simply asked to be remembered by Jesus. But what does Jesus do? Jesus gives him way more than that. Jesus gives him a promise and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Why? Why does he pray for those crucifying him? Why does he do? They didn't ask for it. They don't deserve it. Why would you do that? Because that's what Jesus does.
Yes.
He gives love and grace to everyone. And everyone means everyone. And he calls on us to do the same. Jesus' words are filled with hope in a terrible, hopeless situation. Everyone thought Rome was in control. They thought hate and fear were in control. They thought evil was in control. And yet the fact of the matter is, God is in control. Rome couldn't keep Jesus in a grave. Rome couldn't keep the thief from paradise. Rome, not even evil, can keep us or separate us. Not death, not sin, not evil can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from God's love or God's grace or the new life that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Jesus' very first words in our passage, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they get grace. They didn't ask. They don't deserve. They get it. Jesus' words bring hope into hopeless situations. They bring light into darkness. See, the truth is what the sermon title says. There are no buts to grace. Grace is grace. And grace is for everyone, because we all need it. Nobody deserves it. Everybody needs it. In the northwest suburbs of Washington, D.C., there is an Orthodox Jewish temple named Ohav Shalom. And it's an Orthodox congregation, which means that on holy days, they fast from the internet. They're not allowed to be on the internet. They're not allowed to do it on their phone. They're not allowed to do it on their computer. That's one. It's a strict religion, and that's one of the things that they observe. It's some pretty strict Sabbath laws, and so they're not allowed to get onto the internet during the holidays. And a few summers ago in June, the congregation was coming out of their observance of the holy day called Shavuot. And you're going, Shavuot? What's Shavuot? Well, if you've read the Bible, you've heard the word Shavuot, but you also see that it's also called the Festival of Weeks. And if you look at it, you also find out that it was also called Pentecost. Now, we've heard of Pentecost, but we know Pentecost as a Christian celebration, but it actually started as a Jewish celebration. It was about the wheat harvest. Harvest, Thanksgiving time, harvest. You see how that could possibly work in together. Anyway, so it's in June, and they've just celebrated the service, and they're coming out, and of course, what's the first thing everybody does when they're in the parking lot? They get on their phones, right? Right? All right? And they get on the internet, and they're getting ready to go out, and the rabbi calls them all back. Calls them back. Because when they got on their phones and when they got on the internet, they had learned about a horrific mass shooting. It had been at the Pulse nightclub. Do you remember that? In Orlando, 49 people killed, 53 wounded. And even though the service had ended, the rabbi calls the congregation back and says, "We're not done. Shavuot is a pilgrimage festival. It was one of the three festivals where you had to go to Jerusalem. It was a pilgrimage to get there." He goes, "We're going on a pilgrimage. We're going to go on a pilgrimage." And so what he did, he led them into the city to a gay bar. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. This rabbi hadn't been in a bar in over 20 years and had never been in a gay bar. And yet he's leading these Orthodox Jews, okay, with the yarmulkes and all that other stuff. You can imagine what they looked like. You've seen the black suits and all of that and the beard. And they're walking down the side. There is a parade of Orthodox Jews going downtown, Washington, D.C. And there at DuPont Circle, there is a gay bar. It is called The Fireplace. An African-American gay bar with a bunch of white Jews in formal worship attire. And they come to this bar, and you can imagine the guy on the outside looking at him is kind of looking at it like, "Well, I'm not sure about this." And then the rabbi explained what they were doing. And the man on the outside broke down in tears. His cousin had been killed at the Pulse nightclub. And so they go inside. Nobody knows what to expect. Everybody's very somber, of course. They had heard about the Pulse. But it turned out that the two groups had a whole lot more in common than they knew. One of the patron's stepchildren had been bar mitzvahed at that temple. Who knew? Another wanted a card for the temple because he thought he might come by and check it out. And after a while, the bartender shut off the music, and the rabbi began to offer prayers, and they lit candles and they sang songs from the depths of their soul. And the tears flowed and barriers fell down and collapsed. And then the temple bought a round of drinks for everybody. It's just one little corner of the world. But still, see, that's what grace does. It brings hope. It brings healing. It brings understanding. It brings light into darkness. It casts out fear and it brings love. This is what we do because this is what Jesus does. He did it then and he's doing it now. Because love wins. Grace wins. And we're called to share that victory with other people. We're called to share that grace with other people. We're called to walk in that kind of love that brings hope, that brings healing, that brings light. This is what we do. And we don't do it because anybody deserves it. We do it because all of us need it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.